Welcome to Voice of Revelation podcast with Pastor Ben Ogun. Pastor Ben Ogun is the founder and president of Ben Ogun Ministries. Voice of Revelation podcast is focused on taking your understanding of the Bible to the next level. Now here's Pastor Ben.
First Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 3 to verse 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. The title of our message is Everlasting Inheritance. The apostle said that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that has begotten us again unto a lively hope, not dead hope, living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he had brought this hope to light, the hope that God has, which is the inheritance he wants us to inherit, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, undiable, unstoppable, that is reserved in heaven. He said this inheritance is everlasting, that God has brought this inheritance to light so that we can see this wonderful inheritance God wants us to inherit, and that this inheritance is Jesus Christ, whom he raised from the dead. He raised him so that we can see this everlasting inheritance, the inheritance that God has reserved for us, and that he purposed to show us this inheritance in the fullness of time. That's why Jesus came, and then he died and he was raised from the dead, so that we'll see that God's promise is true, that he has given us everlasting inheritance. And now he said this everlasting inheritance he has openly showed him. So that is why he says to this hope, lively hope, we now have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God himself did all of this, showed him to us that we have an inheritance in heaven. That's why it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That we are called to this inheritance, to inherit this settled, unchangeable, undiable inheritance. And see what the apostle said concerning this inheritance. Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wouldst not leave my soul in hell, neither would thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shared for this which you now see and hear. Amen. It says that because God has done this, now the people are seeing and hearing the testimony of his resurrection, that he's been raised as God promised, that David saw corruption, David died, that we have his grave, the apostle said, that David was a prophet, the spirit of Christ was in him, speaking, that he will not let him see corruption, he will not leave his soul in hell, in the grave. And as a prophet, the Spirit was talking in him, speaking of this everlasting inheritance that will not see corruption. That this inheritance is Christ that did not see corruption. David was not speaking of himself. He was speaking of Christ, the everlasting inheritance God has promised. And that this inheritance is for us all, everyone. And that God has showed him openly by raising him from the dead. That who was raised from the dead, the word of God, that was made flesh. Now he says he is now exalted and on the right hand of God. As the scripture says, that wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name. What name? The name of Jesus Christ. That God has exalted the holy word of God, that he will not allow his holy one to see corruption, that the word of God cannot fail, cannot be corrupted, that he is everlasting, he is settled in heaven, and that he was made flesh in the house of David, and that David, being the prophet, was speaking of him, that he would be raised and then sit in the seat of power. Who was raised? The word of God. And that he is that everlasting inheritance that God promised that is coming. And that he showed his inheritance to all by raising him from the dead. See what Apostle Paul spoke of him in Acts chapter 17, reading from verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. That he perceived that they are so superstitious. They worship all kinds of things. And to the point that they now have an altar or a setup, they put there to the unknown God. There is one God they don't know. Paul said to them that it is that God I'm preaching unto you, the one you don't know. He is the true God. And that you are ignorantly worshiping him, but he is the true God. Look at verse 24 of Acts 17. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hand, as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. He had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of you. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. He created us. He made us. That God who created us cannot be made with hands, does not dwell in things made by humans. That when you say to the unknown God, you can't make that God and you can't set up something and you begin to worship it. That is idol worshiping. In verse 29, for as much then we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God wintered, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he had appointed a day in the which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. He says that he has given assurance to every human being, in that he raised Jesus from the dead. The one that God said we should turn to, we should repent and turn to, cannot perish. He abides forever. And then God proved it by raising him from the dead. He died, but he came up again. And that God did all this so that he would show the everlasting one, whom he wants us to receive so that we can have inheritance that is settled. So that we don't live an empty life, but that through this Jesus, we have everlasting inheritance. Why? Because he is everlasting. He abides forever. God does not dwell in things he created, is what he's saying. That this God cannot dwell in dieable things. That he is undieable. And therefore, we should feel after the undieable. And then he made it clear to us, as the scripture has said, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. That is the undeniable inheritance he has given to us. That is the everlasting inheritance he has given to us, which is Jesus Christ that was made flesh and he was raised again the third day. And he abided forever. And so it is this Jesus, he says, we are to receive so that we abide in him. He will abide in us, that if we do so, we have an inheritance through Jesus Christ. See what the man of God said in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read from verse 1 to 4. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Hear it again. He said, for we know that if our earthly house, our physical body is earthly house, our earthly house of this tabernacle, we are dissolved. We have a building of God. That this building is of God, is God's building, God's house, where God dwells. An house not made with hands, that this house is everlasting in heavens, in the spirit. It's a spiritual house. It's not a physical house, he's saying to us. In verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. See, we are supposed to put on this heavenly house, this spiritual house, so that we don't be found naked. That if we don't put this house on, when the earthly is dissolved, we'll be found naked. We'll be homeless. Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. That he is talking of the heavenly house, the house of God, where God dwells. That God dwells in Christ, in his word. And that we are called to inherit this everlasting house of God, this dwelling place of God. How do we inherit him? By faith. When we believe. that God so loved us, he gave us this house, he gave us the heavenly one, his own son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, but shall have the everlasting inheritance. That this inheritance is Christ himself, the heavenly house that came from heaven. We are to put him on, then we enter him. In that this inheritance is given to us freely. God gave us this inheritance so that we can become heirs of God. Through Christ, we now inherit God's house, God's dwelling place. Just like through Adam, we got our physical body. But he says, if this physical one is destroyed or dissolved, the scripture says we have a building of God that is available to us today, that then we should put it on. We groan while we are here to put that house on. And so that we will not be found naked. We now have an inheritance. That the days are coming when the dead shall rise up. Some to everlasting life, they have the everlasting inheritance. Some to everlasting condemnation. Some to shame. That the way to have that inheritance is to believe that Jesus Christ, whom we see today, this Word of God whom we see, is that everlasting inheritance. Is that inheritance from heaven, whom God said we have to believe and receive him by faith into our heart. That Christ should dwell in us. That if Christ be in you, that's the hope of resurrection. That's the hope of the everlasting life. In that this Christ, God raised him from the dead. He's the first fruit from the dead. Why did God do so? He said he wanted to give us assurance that this is the everlasting inheritance, which he promised. That Jesus is that everlasting inheritance, the Word of God. And then he made him flesh. He died, he raised him up again, so that our faith will be anchored on Christ, that he is that inheritance that is secured in the heavens, and that Christ is given to us through the Holy Bible, that it is the Word of God that is the everlasting inheritance. And that Word, he said, we have him today. That's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, reading from verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. He is telling us concerning his word. When he says, whosoever cometh to me, let him deny himself and follow me. He said he's talking of his word. That we follow him, follow who? Follow the word. And that whosoever shall save himself or his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose himself for me shall save the life. For what shall it profit a man that he gains the whole world and loses himself, his soul? Like the fool, he says, there was a certain rich man in Luke chapter 12 whose field or ground did abundantly. Then he said to himself, my soul, relax. What can you do now? Enjoy the rest of your life. Then that night, say God said to him, you fool, tonight you are dying. He died. He said, then those things he acquired for himself, who are those for? That's not everlasting. He himself is not everlasting. He died. That he was not rich towards God. That is, he didn't have this God, which God, the God of the Holy Bible. that Christ was not dwelling in him. His inheritance was himself. We say when we are rich towards ourselves, then we don't have Christ. We cannot have both of them. There's a natural man, there's a spiritual man. That when we are rich towards the natural, as that fool was, he's not rich towards God. Who is God? The Word. To be rich toward God, Jesus says that if you are not ashamed of me and of my word, where is his word in the Bible? What is the gospel? The gospel of the Bible. In this sinful and adulterous generation, that the truth has been adulterated in the hearts of human. Who adulterates the truth? The devil. He has planted himself in the place of Christ. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That is not the everlasting inheritance. That the everlasting one is Christ, the Word. And that anyone that is ashamed of him, that it turns away from him, and is not aware that God has given us inheritance, he says that one will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of the Father with the holy angels, that it is him the Father dwells. That the spirit of the scripture dwells in the scriptures. It's not dwelling in the flesh. That he dwells in his word. So therefore the gospel is the gospel of the Holy Bible. That the spirit says anyone that is ashamed of him and of his testimony of his word, he will be ashamed of that one. And so he said to us that we are called to inherit the blessing. That blessing is this one word of God, the only begotten Son of God that he has given to us. And that when we receive him, as many as receive him, to them he gives the right or power to become children of God. That he will be glorified in his own. That God shall and will be glorified in his saints, those who receive him. That when he comes, who is coming? The word of God. That he is coming. And that when he comes, those who were ashamed of him or who rejected him, for the flesh, for themselves, that our testimony or testimony of ourselves is not the truth, that the truth's testimony is the testimony of the Word of God, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not us, but himself. He says, except we deny ourselves, we cannot be his disciple. And so that's why he's saying to us that we have an inheritance. Abraham got this inheritance. See what the scripture says concerning Abraham in Galatians chapter 3. Reading from verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, indeed shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Look at it. That the gospel was preached to Abraham. What gospel? The gospel of the scriptures. And that Abraham believed that he is that inheritance. Who? The word. So is Abraham received Jesus Christ, received the word. He believed that through that faith, he received him. Then everyone that's would do as Abraham, the same are blessed as the faithful Abraham. That means the same have received the everlasting inheritance. Look at it, if I continue, from verse 14 of Galatians 3. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannoyeth or added thereto. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Abraham, many children. For he said to thy seed, singular, which is Christ. That it is Christ that God promised. That the seed, that by thy seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That seed is the word that Abraham believed. Therefore, is everyone that believes the same word of God, they are blessed as the faithful Abraham. That it is through Christ we become heirs of God. Christ is that inheritance, that everlasting inheritance, which is the word of God in the Bible. And that we are all called, including the Jews and the Gentiles, to inherit this one everlasting inheritance of God. And that this one is Christ himself, the Son of the living God. And that it is he that gives that right, that power to become children of God. That Abraham received him, then he belonged to God. He received the everlasting inheritance that is secured and forever. That if we don't know this, then we are deceived. That God did not have any blessing for anyone except Christ. That even Abraham, the scripture was preached to him. The same scripture we have today that is being preached to us by the gospel. Jesus says, anyone that is ashamed of this gospel of Christ, he's saying the same, he will be ashamed of such one when he comes. When the time comes, he's saying that he's coming. Who is coming? The word of God is coming to show to the world. He said he will be revealed in his time. That his time is coming, that the truth of God will be manifest. That truth is Jesus Christ. See final scripture in Revelation 3, in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he will sup with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit saith unto the churches. He says, anyone that is ashamed of his word, where is his word? The very scriptures we are reading. He says he stands at the door, is knocking. That for 40 years he was knocking at the door of the Israelites of old in the wilderness. They didn't open, they hardened their hearts. That he's talking of the heart of humans. That the truth of the Bible should enter us, that he gave them inheritance. They would not receive him. That inheritance was the word he gave to Moses. And that the same gospel is being preached to all today. He said, I stand at the door. I'm knocking. That if any man hear the voice of the Spirit and his sayings and open, he will come in unto such one and abide in such one. Then he said, I will sup with him. He will sup with me. He doesn't want us to be empty. He wants us to have inheritance. He said that inheritance is himself. Who? Jesus said, I am that inheritance that we are to receive. That anyone that receives him has received God. That through Christ, we now become heirs of God. That God wants us to inherit God. What God, this house, is life. That he is everlasting. That God is the only everlasting. He alone has immortality. Nothing else has immortality except God. Now we say we are called to inherit this immortality through Christ. That he so loved us, he gave us his word. That this word of God is everlasting. He did it because he loved us. He don't want us to perish. The way to receive this word is to open our heart. That when we open our heart to this truth of the Bible, that he is that everlasting inheritance, then as many as do so and receive him, they have the everlasting one. They have that inheritance that is settled. There's only one inheritance settled in heaven. Jesus said, lay your treasure in that inheritance. Let it be your treasure. That it is the word of God that is settled in heaven. There's nothing there except this word of God. Except the word of God. That by him all things were created, both visible and invisible. That it is Christ that is in God. That it is this Christ in God that declares God. That it is only through the word of God we can come to God. It is only through the word of God we can receive God. That's why I say we are brought to this God, to a lively hope by the resurrection from the dead. That when God raised him from the dead, he raised him to show us he that is exalted. That he raised him as a sign to show us that he has raised Christ up far above all principalities and power. That he has raised the Bible above all. That it is this word that we are called to inherit, as he called Abraham. Abraham received him. And then through Christ, Abraham was blessed. Because he received the exalted one. He received his word. And they said that we are called to receive the same blessing. That anyone that believes as Abraham did is blessed. He has received the blessing. And so he's saying to us that there's no other blessing God has except this Holy Bible, which is going around various nations in the world, that the Gentiles are also called into this hope, this lively hope that was hidden before, but God chose at his appointed time to reveal him to the whole world. He was first made flesh, and then he died to show to us that he's dead. Then he got up again and to inform us that he's the undiable. There is none that is undiable. It was not David. David is a human being. He's dead. We have a grave, St. Peter said. That it is Jesus Christ, the uncorruptible Son of God. That it is that one that David was speaking of, that he saw him on the right hand of God. And that it was the spirit of the scripture that was talking in David. That it is he that would abide forever. It is he that God promised to give to the whole world. Where is he today? We have him in the Bible. Hallelujah. So therefore, we are called to receive him. He says, anyone that rejects him, the God of this world has deceived such one. That is the condemnation. That the truth is come. The Son of God is come. The great one, God said, we should inherit it, but men love the faith, flesh and blood. But that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It is Christ and those who are of Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Voice of Revelation podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message by Pastor Ben Ogan. For more information about our podcast and other resources, please visit benoganministries.org.